Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today. We have another wonderful passage in the scripture. But before we get there, why don't we pray? Let's bow our heads. And let's take a moment to prepare our hearts, confess our sins, ask the Lord to forgive us, which of course he will. If we know Christ, he'll cleanse us and make our hearts open to his word. Lord, to the prayers we've just prayed, we say amen. And we also pray for the people in Ukraine, Lord, and the surrounding countries. God, watch over, protect them, show them mercy, and bring the hostilities there to a quick end, we pray. Protect your children there, especially. And also bring people to Christ who have heard about Jesus, you know, but they've never been in the kind of rough situation they're in now and need him so badly. So we commit all of this to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. There you go. Now, here at Live with Lon, what do we study? Say it with me. Come on. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible and nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our lives. And that's what we're going to do today. If you remember, we're in a study of the Gospels, and we're in John's Gospel, catching up to the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where we got to the triumphal entry in those Gospels. We're now going to catch up to chapter 12 in John's Gospel. And then we'll combine all four and we'll look at the last week of Jesus's life. So right now we're in John chapter 5. And we're going to talk today about the four witnesses, to Jesus and his messiahship and his deity. Look back with me. Let's go back to John chapter 5, earlier in the chapter. Here in the beginning of John 5, Jesus heals a man and tells him to pick up his stretcher and walk, which he does. And look, verse 16, and therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things, the healing and telling the man to carry his pallet on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father has been working until now and I have been working. In other words, God doesn't take the Sabbath off, as we said earlier. He works on the Sabbath too. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath in their mind, he broke their puny rules for the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So this is the claim of Jesus. He claims it everywhere in the New Testament. Don't you ever let anybody tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. He did all the time. And there are four witnesses to his claim that it's true. And God provided these for us so that we know we have not followed a hoax. So I want to show them to you. They're here in the end of John chapter 5. So let's begin verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, Jesus said, my witness is not true. If I'm the only one telling you that I'm the Messiah, then I could, you know, be spoofing you. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent to John, meaning the Baptist, and he bore witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Okay. That's as far as we're going to go right now. The first witness that God provided that Jesus was the Messiah and that he is God in the flesh, was John the Baptist. And let's read about that, shall we? Let's go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. And the land, all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Verse 7. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. And I indeed have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, who could that possibly be that could do that other than God himself? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him, Jesus, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now let's go back then to John chapter 1. And I want you to see in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water.' And John bore witness," here we go, watch, "saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he," the Spirit, "remained upon him," Jesus. Now look, "and I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water," God the Father, "said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" All right, so the first witness that God sent to confirm the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist, who said, "When I saw the Holy Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remain on the Lord Jesus, God the Father had told me, this is how you'll know who the Messiah is, who God in the flesh is. And I testify," John says, "I bear witness," John says, "that this is Jesus." So that's witness number one, the testimony of John. Now, witness number two is the witness of the miracles that Jesus did. Witness number one is the witness of John the Baptist. Witness number two is the witness of the miracles that Jesus did. Look what Jesus said here. He said, verse 36, "I have a greater witness than John's, for the works, the miracles, which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." This is a common refrain that the Lord Jesus had throughout all of his ministry. "If you don't believe me for my sake, believe me for the sake of the miracles that I do." Remember what Nicodemus said. Listen, John chapter 3. Nicodemus, the great rabbi, comes to Jesus and says, verse 2, John chapter 3, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Watch, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And then in John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the man born blind, we'll get to that in a couple weeks, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. But look what the blind man, once he's healed, he's standing before the religious leaders of Israel, the intelligentsia, you know, the Pope and the cardinals. And look what he says. Verse 24 of John chapter 9, look. "Then these rabbis again called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner.' And he answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Gosh, I love this. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. We'll come back to that. That's wonderful. And so they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Now watch this. And the man answered and said to them, why, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he, God the Father, hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He had more sense than all the rabbis had. That's the point. This is the point of the miracles that Jesus did. To verify, to prove, to corroborate, to substantiate his deity and his messiahship. This is witness number two. And listen to what Jesus himself said. In John chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 25, I told you and you do not believe, because they had said in the verse before, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now skip down to verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me, Jesus said. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. This is crazy. He's saying to them, if you're not going to take my word for it, believe me for the sake of the miracles. Like Nicodemus said, who can do these things? Like the man born blind said, who can do these things if he's not God? And I love John 14:11, where Jesus says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus expected people to believe him because of the miracles. That's why he did them, to corroborate, as I said earlier, his deity and his messiahship. And this is why he said, woe to you, Capernaum. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the people had done, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had seen the works that you've seen, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes a long time ago. And yet you won't believe. So that's witness number two. And that was a mighty witness. Who can do this unless he's God? Number three is the witness of God the Father's voice. Watch, let's go back to John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him, meaning Jesus, you do not believe. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about what happened at his baptism. Let's go back to Luke chapter 3. And the Holy Spirit, look at verse 22, descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. If we go to Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 11. A voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know, there was one other time where God gave this same witness to Jesus, that is, speaking with his voice and confirming him as the Son of God. And of course, that's at the Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17. Up they go on this mountain. Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. Peter and John and James wake up, and Peter says, Lord, let me build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now watch what happened. And while he was still speaking, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear, listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Yeah. And Peter even refers to this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. But we were eyewitnesses of his, Jesus's majesty, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. God himself is witness number three. He spoke and said, this is my son, not Elijah, not Moses. This is my son. You listen to him. And they heard it. Peter said, we heard it. The people at the baptism heard it. Wow. Okay, now number four, witness number four, Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 5, let's go back there, in verse 39, I love this verse. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you should have life. Now, I love this. When I was a brand new Christian, and I ran across this verse, I thought, indeed, that's exactly how it is among the Jewish people, and particularly the Jewish leaders. They revere the scriptures as paramount, and they think because they study the scriptures and know the scriptures and read the scriptures and chant the scriptures and pore over the scriptures that this is going to bring them eternal life. And Jesus says, the scriptures are the very, they testify of me. If you get into the scripture, the Old Testament testifies to me. The prophecies of the Old Testament, the messianic prophecies, over 30 of them, they testify to me. Remember, I told you I got this note from Richard Park, my good friend, who had talked to a mathematician at the Pentagon, and she told him that the probability of all 30-some of these prophecies being fulfilled in the same person was 1 times 10 with 100 zeros after it. With probabilities like that, we can't be wrong. I'll come back to that thought. But this is what's in the scripture. Jesus said they're all in the scripture. They will cast lots for my garment. They pierced my hands and my feet, and on and on and on. They gave me gall to drink, and you name it. I was born in Bethlehem, and on and on and on. All these scriptures, the Jewish people think they have life just because they study them, but these scriptures point straight to Jesus, but they won't come to Jesus and believe in him. Amazing. So, we have the four witnesses. What are they? The witness of John the Baptist, the witness of Jesus's miracles, number three, the witness of God's very voice coming from heaven, both at his baptism and at his transfiguration, and number four, the witness of the scripture, which is perhaps one of the greatest witnesses, because you can see that, and the witness of his works, we can all see that from the scripture. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of John chapter 5 right now because I want to do it next week, but I do want you to skip down to verse 46. Of course, the Jewish people divided the scriptures into Moses and the prophets. Moses meaning the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the rest of the Bible. So look what Jesus says, verse 45, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust, who wrote the scripture. For if you believed Moses, what he wrote in the scripture, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? The scripture. Scripture. So these are the four witnesses to the deity and the messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's as far as we want to go in John 5 today, but we want to stop and ask our most important question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Come on. One, two, three, what? So what? Yeah. And hey, wait a minute. Remember, what does my friend Jackie Gleason say? How sweet. Come on. It is. You bet. Now, so what? Well, friends, the Bible gives us the so what to this. Let me take you back to 2 Peter chapter 1. We read part of the verse, but we left out the beginning on purpose because I wanted to come back to it now. We read the end of the verse. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, meaning up on the Mount of Transfiguration. But let's look at the beginning of verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what amazing words. For, look at this. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we were up on the mountain. We heard God speak. And the other witnesses that we have here from John chapter 5. Cunningly devised fables. Cunningly means very crafty. You're very crafty. You're very sneaky. You can pull the wool over people's eyes. Devised, cunningly devised, meaning that it was on purpose, that it was intended to mislead people, that people devised this. It wasn't an accident, that they actually planned it to mislead people. And then fables. You know what a fable is. It's an untruth. It's a nice story, but it's not true. So Peter says, we have not followed stories that people came up with on purpose to mislead us and were very cunning in how they did it. Very sneaky. No, Peter says, when we told you about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were telling you the truth. This is reality, not a fable. It's the truth. And how do we know that? Well, Peter says, I know it because I was up on the mountain and I heard God say to him, this is my beloved son, hear him. But I also heard John the Baptist say, I was sent to tell you who the Messiah is, and God told me how to recognize him, the dove, the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down from heaven. And that's what happened at his baptism, and so this is he. And I have not followed cunningly devised fables, for as the man in John chapter 9 says, whoever heard of somebody healing a man born blind? If he were not from God, he couldn't do any of these things. Nicodemus said the same thing. And finally, the scripture. How could anybody have fulfilled all 30 of these prophecies? 1 times 10, with 100 zeros after it, probability-wise. How could that be? Folks, I want to reassure you right now, if you believe in Jesus, you have not followed cunningly devised fables. No. You have not been taken advantage of and you've been not sold a bill of goods. No. You believe the truth. Praise the Lord. The truth. And you know what? That truth that you've believed is not only going to benefit you here on earth with the blessings of God, but that truth that you believed when you leave this earth is going to open the gates of heaven for you so that the last breath you take here on this earth will be followed by the next breath you take on the shores of heaven. And you have four witnesses telling you, showing you, proving to you that this is right. You know, I have a good friend. I won't tell you his name because I don't have his permission to use his name. But he's my buddy. He lives down the street from me, who just recently had a very serious surgery. And we went out and went for a walk around the neighborhood together the day before his surgery. And I asked him about what would he say to God if he was standing at the pearly gates and God said, why should I let you in? And he had the right answer because I trust what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I said, that's right, baby. You got the right answer. And I could tell that he was a little nervous. Of course, you're going to have major, massive surgery. And so I said to him, I said, listen, brother, let me just tell you, when I went in for my heart surgery and they wheeled me down the corridor to head into the operating room, I said to Brenda, I said, now, sweetheart, I'm either going to wake up in the recovery room or I'm going to wake up on the shores of heaven. And either way, I'm going to be fine. It's going to be a win for me. Either way, I know you'll miss me, depending on the day. Some days I irritate Brenda, but I know she'll miss me. And I said, but I'll be fine. Either is a win. It's a win-win when you know Christ. As Paul said, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, to depart and be with Christ is exceedingly far better. Paul had seen heaven, 2 Corinthians 12. Wasn't allowed to come back and tell us about it, but he had seen heaven. And so to go to heaven's a wonderful thing. I heard somebody say the other day, why do we believe in heaven being such a wonderful place and then we're so sad when people go there? Well, of course, there's the loss here on earth, but that's a win to go to heaven. And Paul said in Philippians 1, but also you need me here, to the Philippians. And so I'm betwixt and between. I don't know which to choose, Paul said. They're both wins. So that's what I told Brenda. And that's what I told my buddy when we were walking. I said, hey, brother, I just got to tell you, when you know Christ, it's a win-win. So I'm going to pray, and hopefully you're going to come out of it and be in the recovery room, no problem. But either way, you have not followed a cunningly devised fable, my friend. This is real. This is true. And the angels are coming to get you if it's time for you to leave here. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come himself, I don't know. But they're taking you right to heaven. And you can count on that. And isn't that wonderful, my friends, to know that we have not followed cunningly devised fables? Isn't that wonderful? Yes, because we have four witnesses to the fact this is true. The witness of John the Baptist, the witness of Jesus's miracles, the witness of the voice of God himself, and the witness of the scripture, which is probably the most powerful of them all. So, let's close and say, don't you worry about a thing, my friend, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you trusted what he did on the cross for you, paying for your sins with his blood to bring you eternal life. You have absolutely nothing to worry about. This is not a hoax. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's not a scheme of man. This is the truth that will save your life on earth and save your soul in eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you did not leave us without a witness. You gave us four. That the Lord Jesus is telling the truth, that he's God in the flesh, that his death on the cross pays for our sin and is the ticket that will get us into heaven. Lord Jesus, help us not to doubt you when you've gone to so much trouble to give us all of this testimonial, all of this witness that you are who you say you are. Lord, we love you for being God in the flesh and coming to save us. And Lord Jesus, may our faith never waver, because we have four witnesses telling us we've believed the truth. Encourage our hearts with this great, great teaching today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what did you say? Amen. And what else did you say? Amen. Okay. Now, baby, what was that that we just did? What was it? Preaching. You got it, baby. That's preaching the word the way the word is supposed to be preached. It means what it says, and it says what it means, and we don't need to mess it up with all this gobbledygook about, well, this is, and maybe this kind of means, and maybe this doesn't exactly. No, no. The word says what the word means, and the word means what the word says, and what the word says will save our souls. And that's the way it is at Lon Solomon Ministries. And thank God for so many other good preachers out there that are preaching the truth. Would to God we had more. All right, that's enough for this week. Next week, we'll finish John chapter 5, Lord willing, here on Live with Lon. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.